can't help but think of the children's hide and seek slogan, ready or not, here I come. That's sort of the way Christmas is, right? Ready or not, here I come. I think about Christmas and the holidays, and I think most of us begin to think about family. And I don't know about you, but in my family, we have some characters. I don't know if any of you have characters or not. They're usually the ones that end up being the cause of Christmas memories, one way or the other. Whether it was the famed Uncle Art, or my Grandpa Dick, or one of my cousins. It was the time our dog got caught in the Christmas tree lights and pulled the lights, the Christmas tree down. My sister still has never forgiven me for when I told her that the elves lived in the Christmas bulbs and watched her. And she grew up paranoid that there were small little people living in the Christmas tree watching her. There was the great Christmas tree debacle, as it came to be known, when Janelle and I, over the course of one holiday season, purchased four Christmas trees. Two of them were live and ended up being too big to get into the house. One of them was much too small, and finally we found it was like the three bears with the porridge. We finally found the one that worked. We had such memories of that tree that when we moved, we had someone come and dig the tree up and take it with us. So now in our new house, we have a 30-foot pine tree that was at one time the Christmas tree that was too big to get into our house. We all have those memories that make the season what it is and add to our lives. One of the blessings, I think, of the church is that there's all kinds of characters in the 2,000-year history that we can draw from. As I reflected on this Christmas, I looked back at some of the writings of some of the fathers, the doctors of the church. In Latin, doctor means teacher. And there's both men and women who are teachers, who are doctors of the church. Like Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower. St. Catherine of Siena, St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, these types of folks are doctors or teachers of the church. One of the doctors of the church is St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Now, there's not going to be a quiz, so you don't have to worry about this. He's born in the year 313, was the bishop of Jerusalem at the time of the Nicene Council. And he was reflecting, and as he reflected on this holiday, he talked about the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. We're celebrating the first coming today, the Christmas story, the nativity, the incarnation, where Christ is born, visibly born at a point in time. There's more historical evidence on the physiological existence of Jesus of Nazareth than there is Julius Caesar. So the fact that Jesus was a reality isn't questionable. It's not up for debate. Was he a live human being at a point in time in history visible? Absolutely. The second coming St. Cyril talks about is the coming at the end of time. That will be at a point in time, the coming, the second coming, whenever that may be. Both of those points in time, when Christ came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, and when Christ returns, that's up to God. There's all kinds of folks that say, this is it, or the time is now. It's like, nah, that's God's business. Both of those times were God's business. Jesus was born in weakness and flesh. He'll come in glory and wonder. Jesus was born in the presence of the animals in the manger, and the shepherds came and the magi came, and all that story that we're familiar with, and was born in weakness, he'll come in glory and strength and power. St. Augustine talks about the desire of the heart. And I think the desire of the heart is the connecting road between the two. St. Augustine, one of the doctors of the church, But you know, St. Bernard, another doctor of church, the church, talks about the third coming of Jesus. I'd never even heard that. I had never thought of that. The third coming of Jesus? St. Bernard says the first coming and the second coming, are visible. The third coming is that private coming into our individual hearts. That is very invisible, very quiet. But all the less, it is that desire of heart that connects the two. The Christmas story that we celebrate now, the coming of Christ in glory at the end that we look forward to, and yet the bridge between that is the desire of our own heart. St. Paul says, pray unceasingly. You know, does that mean being in the church or having a rosary or saying the Our Father all through the day? No, not according to St. Augustine. That's the song of the heart, the desire of your heart that you bring before God. And that desire, even the desire, becomes the prayer. And that unites the two in the third coming of Christ, which is individual to each one of us. Last Saturday, 3 days ago, starting right about now, our young women of the parish were confirmed by Bishop Thomas Gumbleton up in Detroit. Allison and Abby and Aaron and Erica and Morgan and Kelsey stood up before the whole church and said, yes, Lord, we believe. We're giving our lives to Christ to continue to witness. That each in their own way had the third coming of Jesus come to them in the sacrament with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us who has been baptized and receives Eucharist and has been confirmed, even if that is simply the desire of your heart, God is present in that moment in each of our hearts. But you know, sometimes the prayer of our heart is that of a broken heart. Because we have to admit that sometimes, even in this gathering, there are those people that are no longer with us, that maybe they've died. Maybe there's relationships that are broken apart. Maybe there's issues that we struggle with. That is the prayer, the unceasing prayer, the desire of your heart, that even that is desire is there, is your prayer continually before God. The only time that prayer goes silent is when you cease to have the desire. Then it goes silent. So whatever the desire of your heart is, call God to be present in that. As God came into the world at a visible point in time, as he will come again into the world at a visible point in time, so at this moment in time, in the invisible quiet of your own heart, you allow that Christ child to be born in spirit and in power, in love and in joy. God has given us some remarkable gifts, and they are in our midst. I'm going to ask our young women who were confirmed. Now, Abby and Allison don't know about this because I didn't get to tell them, but I told the other girls. I want you guys to come up, and you're going to help me with something. You're going to gather the gifts for me, so please come up. Unless, Allison, you feel like really uncomfortable and you don't want to do it, you don't have to. I'm picking on her. Come on up.
These are our newly confirmed members. But one of the things that we have done historically at this time of year is we read a story for our children. And aren't they the greatest presents that God has ever given us? The greatest gift? So I would ask you to go and gather the gifts of this church. Gather the children and have them come up and let's hear the Christmas story.